Good morning, Terra Nova. It is summertime. Good to see you out here. Lots of stuff still going on here in Troy. We are excited about all those folks that volunteer just down the block, a couple doors at our Terra Kids Ministry and our Terra Youth Ministry. Both the children and the teens met this morning. I see some of you with your cool Terra Kids t-shirts on. That means you served, and we appreciate that. We're blessed to have so many good folks that are able to do what we do each week. So thank you. My name is Pastor Bill. I'm the pastor of discipleship, and that one of those areas that I oversee is Terra Kids and Terra Youth. We have great staff that serve in that area and provide leadership. So this week we are going to be in the book of Proverbs again. We started last Sunday with it's a four-part mini-series. If you've been here last few months or last year or so, you know, we've been working our way through the Bible, the People of God series. We're looking at the stories of God's Word from Genesis in the Old Testament all the way through Revelation at the end of the New Testament. And we're going to take a little break from that to work our way through the Proverbs a little bit. Last Sunday, Pastor Paul Gordon, his wife Nicole, they were here with a group of folks from the Terra Nova Church that they're planting in North Adams, Massachusetts. Excited about that. If you know Paul and Nicole, they were part of Terra Nova almost from the beginning. And the Lord, Paul was on our staff as our executive pastor here for several years. And they've about a year ago moved out there to Massachusetts, and God is at work. And it was still good to hear from them and see that their musicians up here on stage leading us in worship. And Paul was able to kick off this series in Proverbs. So we're here this morning to continue that. So before we do, I want to ask a question before we dig into Proverbs. I'm going to ask you a question here. Does your faith work for you? Does your faith work for you? Does what you know from the Scriptures work out in real life? Does what you believe about God, does it affect how you actually live? There are probably some questions we need to ask ourselves regularly as folks that are coming to church here on a Sunday morning. You know, if I were to answer that question honestly today, I'd have to say not always. Not always. I got to admit that too often there is that difference. There's that difference between what I say I believe, what I know in the Bible, and how I actually live my life day by day. And I know I'm not alone on that. The struggle of working out our faith in real time is a struggle common to all of us who've responded to God's grace, all of us who've put our faith in Jesus. You know, we come here on a Sunday with good intentions. We worship and sing these songs of worship. We are able to sit here and hear the teaching of God's word, but living out our faith on Mondays is harder sometimes than we realize. Yeah, some days are easier than others. Sometimes it's easier than others, but the older I get, the more I think that most days it's hard to live out our faith. It's hard to live out what I believe and to apply what I learn from God's word. And sometimes that's because life is hard, and life is filled with hard stuff. You know, you might be going through something right now, and it's just hard to have that kind of attitude that you want to have. It's hard to believe everything that you read in God's word, because you're just struggling right now. I don't know where you are, but I know I've been there. Sometimes it's just hard because life is hard. Other times it's hard because life is full of distractions and temptations. It's the world we're living in. Sin is at our fingertips in the form of all the media that we can easily access. On our better days, our battle might be primarily about what decisions we're going to make in the moment. What do we do this or say this? Whether we'll honor the Lord and reflect what the Bible teaches. On our worst days, we may wonder if any of this works at all. I don't know where you are this morning. Let me encourage you that the practice of living our faith in the real world, living according to God's word, is one of the primary themes of the Bible. Today we're going to be talking about wisdom that comes from the Lord. Wisdom is about applying what we know about God, putting that into practice. Wisdom is that discernment that comes from knowing God and submitting our lives to Him and doing things His way. Well, wisdom is an important theme in the Scriptures. I want to mention that this morning. The Bible teaches us that the Lord has wisdom. In fact, He created this world with wisdom. It says with wisdom he put things into motion. Along with that, God created us in His image. He created us in His image, the Bible teaches us. He made us to reflect our Creator. He made us to reflect our Creator. We were made to have wisdom. We were made to have wisdom. God's plan for us was to live rightly. Live rightly both in our relationship, but also in our relationship to others. That's who God created us to be. However, that's not how it always works out. Something happened. Something happened. The Scriptures made it clear that mankind sinned. Man sinned and brought corruption to this world. Especially corruption in us, God's people. Every day we experience this brokenness that came from the sin of man as evidenced by the problems in this world and the problems within our lives and our hearts. Instead of wisdom, history is marked by corruption, conflict. It's hard to be optimistic some days as you look out into the world and all that's going on in the news and so forth. We were created to live wisely. Instead of wisdom, we're prone to dysfunction. We're prone to foolishness, as the writer of the Proverbs often speaks. The frustration that all of us feel each day should remind us that we need God's grace. We need His grace. We need His wisdom. We need to be renewed inside. Through Christ, we can be redeemed. He can fix what is broken. The Lord can transform our hearts so that we seek His wisdom. So that we can have that right relationship with the Lord, that we can have that right relationship with others, so that we can live wisely. Wisdom, it's important. Well, wisdom is an overarching theme of Proverbs. As I said, we're going through this mini-series on Proverbs. Hopefully, this is going to help us be a better reader, better student of the Proverbs. We're going to see how wisdom is not just another theological concept, another principle that you hear on a Sunday morning, kind of tuck it away in your collection of Bible knowledge. Wisdom is living out what we know. It's applying what we learn here on Sundays, what we discuss in our tribe groups that meet in homes throughout the week. It's living out what we discover in God's Word as we open it on our own, as we're digging into the Scriptures. Wisdom is practical. Wisdom is the way of the Lord. I'm going to have you open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. If you need a copy of the Scriptures, some folks in the back are going to raise your hand. They'd be happy to give you a Bible you can use. If not, you can just listen along, and we'll have the words up on the screen in a moment. So Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to look at this kind of the opening paragraph as the writer of Proverbs sets up this book. So Proverbs 1, verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and to the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." And then verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In a moment, I'm going to pray just as we open up this morning and we spend some time in the Word of God. But think about those words for a minute. This is how the writer of Proverbs is opening up this section. It's a warning to us about what lays ahead in this book here. But let's pray. Our Father, I thank You that we can come here and gather to hear Your Word. Lord, we want wisdom. Lord, we know the struggle of living out our faith in real life. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to understand Your ways, Lord, to practice them, to live out our faith. Lord, we need Your wisdom this morning. Lord, may You open up our eyes to things we need to see and our ears to that which we need to hear. Thank You, Father, that You sent Your Son, that He is the way of wisdom. Lord, may we practice it as we leave here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, Proverbs, we're going to go through a little bit of Proverbs, and we'll continue that in the next couple of weeks. There's a few more speakers in this series, but this morning, this is our roadmap. We're going to look at this overarching theme of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. First of all, we're going to talk about what is wisdom. It's important. Biblical wisdom, what is it? And the writer of Proverbs lays that out pretty clearly here. Secondly, we're going to talk about why you need wisdom. Why do you need wisdom? What difference does it make? And thirdly, we're going to talk about how we get wisdom. And this is a big subject. There's a lot of depth in here, especially here in the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to do my best to scratch the surface of this topic. But I hope this gives you just a better idea of what wisdom is and why it's important. And that we could become students of God's word, looking to apply what's in the Bible to be men and women who practice wisdom. All right, well let's take a look at this first point here. What biblical wisdom is? Well, wisdom is a theme throughout the scriptures. In fact, in the Old Testament here, as we're starting through Proverbs, there's a particular word for wisdom that's pretty consistently throughout the Old Testament. The word is actually, it's a Hebrew word. Chokmah. So there you go. You learned a Hebrew word today. You can impress people tomorrow at work. The Hebrew word for wisdom we find here in Proverbs is called chokmah. We don't know exactly how this word derived, but basically the root idea behind it is this idea of separating things. Chokmah is to separate, all right, to divide things out. And the thought is that the ancient Hebrews understood wisdom as the ability to separate things rightly. All right, it's the idea that you can discern between good and evil. You can discern between what is wise and what is foolish. That's important as you think about wisdom. Wisdom, this idea of separating things, of discerning things. The Old Testament writers also use this word to refer to those with specific skills, oftentimes craftsmen and artists. In fact, in the Exodus, we went through well over a year ago, the Lord led Moses to choose these skilled craftsmen and artists to build the tabernacle and all the different items in there, if you're familiar with that. These were people who had skills that they applied in not just in the academic sense, but they were able to translate those on into real life through the things that they could create and build and so forth. So it really gives us the idea that wisdom is demonstrated in how it's worked out in real life. All right, wisdom is a theme that's woven throughout the scriptures. Wisdom is mentioned over 300 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. So not just here in Proverbs, but you'll see it in other places. It comes up. It's a very important theme from even in the beginning of Genesis all the way through into the prophets. It's also mentioned 100 times in the Greek New Testament. The writers of the New Testament, they understood this theme. They were students of God's word. They were students of the Hebrew Bible. These apostles, guys like Paul, they knew this how important this idea of wisdom was. The Lord himself often spoke about wisdom in the Gospels. If you look at the teachings of the Lord in the Gospels, you'll see that he spoke about wisdom as he challenged the religious people of the day about what they thought was important, about issues of religion and faith. All right, he taught them that wisdom began with humility over one's sin and one's need for God. And he confronted those who were confident in themselves, who were self-righteous. They were self-righteous. He basically, one of the things that often caused contention between the Lord and the religious leaders was that he basically was implying that you're foolish. You're foolish in your pride. You're going to miss the kingdom of God. You think you have wisdom. You're missing it. So the Lord often spoke about this theme, very important theme. Well, in all these places, we see that wisdom is not some abstract idea. It's not some impersonal force. The writers of the Bible portray wisdom as an attribute of God. It's an attribute of God. Wisdom is the DNA of our Creator. The Lord exemplifies wisdom in all he does. And it's helpful to understand that God created the world according to his wisdom. He created this world according to his wisdom. And he created humankind in his image. We were created in his image to have wisdom, to live in harmony with him and with others. So when a person acts wisely, when she chooses right from wrong, she's reflecting the image of God. Likewise, when you or I choose to forsake biblical wisdom, and we choose to do what we want to do in the moment, which might not be that great of a choice, but it's what we feel like in that particular moment, we demonstrate, not wisdom, but our sin and our dysfunction. All right? That we are made in the image of God. We were made to have wisdom. So wisdom is practical, not abstract, not philosophical. Wisdom is not merely knowledge. We'll look at that in a minute. It is knowledge applied. Wisdom must be lived out. All right, so we look at wisdom here. Wisdom, particularly in the book of Proverbs. All right, very important we see this. I think all of us, or most of us here, should be familiar with the Proverbs. Maybe some of you say, I don't know much about the Proverbs. I hope that you'd open that up. There's a lot that's very practical and easy to read in the Proverbs. Many of us, sometimes there's days where we don't know quite what to read in the Scriptures. So what do? We open up to the Proverbs. If you're familiar, you know that a good chunk of this book is this collection of these little maxims of wisdom. All right, the sort of thing you could write on a note card. In fact, I was challenged when I was in college to memorize some Proverbs. I remember writing these down on note cards and having them in my back pocket and kind of, you know, looking at them as I was going in through the line in the cafeteria. I don't know if any of you else have done that, but they're easy like that to pick up and learn. They're practical, all right? However, the book of Proverbs is not merely a collection of these little wisdom sayings. It's not merely a collection of good advice, all right? Although the individual Proverbs that we read here in this book are inherently practical, the Lord did not give the book of Proverbs to us just so that we have good advice, just to give us good advice. Though he didn't give them to us just to modify, so we could modify our behavior. In fact, often the Proverbs address that way of thinking, that if we just get a little bit of information, we can fix ourselves. All right, that's what the fool does. The fool thinks that if he can just figure things out on his own, he can just improve himself, and then all will be good. Where the wise person in Proverbs realizes that he needs God's help. He needs God's help. One of the main purposes of the book of Proverbs is to remind us of the folly of mankind if left to ourselves. The folly of mankind if left to ourselves. Proverbs points us to the Lord. Proverbs points to the Lord. A wise man realizes his weaknesses and trusts that God's ways are better than his. That's important. If you miss that piece, then you won't find that true wisdom in the Proverbs. You won't find that true wisdom in the Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, again, it's not about self-help. Throughout all 31 chapters, we are reminded that only with God's help can we live wisely. With God's help can we live wisely. What does the Proverbs teach us about wisdom? In Proverbs, we learn that biblical wisdom is a way of living. It's a way of living our life submitted to God, submitted to what his will, his plans are for our lives. So the things that we learn about in the Scriptures. Wisdom is aligning our thinking. It's aligning our values, our attitudes, our behavior with the Word of God. Wisdom comes to those who will humble themselves in response to what we learn in God's Word, and will follow God and will entrust our lives to Him. That is the way of wisdom. Maybe a good definition for wisdom, some of you think like this, a good definition for wisdom might be the skillful application of God's Word as we follow the Lord each day. Wisdom is the skillful application of the truth of God's Word as we follow the Lord each day. It's not, again, it's not knowledge, not the same thing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, so somehow I think if I just spend enough time in the Bible, then that's that. Just if I collect enough knowledge, then I will be able to live out my faith. And we're missing the point. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Knowledge applied. Well, we talked about what is wisdom. Wisdom is that skillful application, that discipline of submitting our lives to God, of hearing His Word and living it out. So let me talk about why we need wisdom. Second piece here. Why do we need wisdom? Well, certainly a lot of different reasons are mentioned in the Proverbs, but I'm going to focus on the beginning here as the writer of Proverbs sets up this book. And by the way, this is a helpful maybe bit of information as you read Proverbs. You might have noticed that in the beginning of Proverbs, there's just a lot of almost like a little discourse, a poetic discourse, where the writer's talking about different things. And it's not until chapter 10 where you get into those nice packaged little wisdom sayings. All right, that's intentional. The author of Proverbs spends the first 9 chapters introducing wisdom. Why it's so important. Why if we don't understand what wisdom is, we will continue to struggle and be foolish. So here I'm going to look at a few places here at the beginning to get an idea of why we need wisdom. Here's the author explaining this to us. In fact, if you look in verse 20 of chapter 1, if you're still in chapter 1, verse 20, we're going to look at, again, it's a poetic section here, and this is the idea of wisdom. Wisdom, in fact, wisdom is represented here as a seasoned, wise woman who is with character, and she is going to be speaking to those who will listen to her. Let's take a listen. Verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city, she speaks. All right, here's Lady Wisdom. Verse 22, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you because I have called you and you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand and no one heeded. Because you have ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me, but I will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But in verse 33, whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without the dread of disaster. This is, again, poetic piece of literature here. Wisdom is pictured as this wise woman calling out to whoever would listen. But unfortunately, too many people did not. This reminds us that you need wisdom because we are simple. We're simple. And that oftentimes in Proverbs, this idea of being simple is inexperienced, not as smart as we think we are, not as strong as we'd like to believe. Lady Wisdom tries to rescue those who would be led into foolishness. Some realize they need the help. Others continue on their way. And that way, I think this is a challenge for all of us. Will we stop and listen? We'll become students of wisdom and learn her ways. The wise person realizes she needs wisdom, while the foolish person thinks he knows enough to handle things on his own. We're simple. We need wisdom from God. Wisdom is calling out, will we listen? Second piece of that, you need wisdom because we will stumble. We will stumble. Proverbs chapter 2, I'm going to continue on in verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 2, where the writer uses the voice of a father speaking to his son as he's trying to prepare his son for life, trying to help him learn wisdom now at a young age before he has to learn it the hard way. Verse 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. For men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious in their ways. Now this is ancient wisdom literature from 2nd millennium BC. This, in some ways, this is a little challenging, but I hope that you heard the heart of that passage here. A father to a son warning him of the pitfalls, the temptations that he would face. Father pleads with him to seek wisdom, pleads with him to have the humility to realize how much he needs the wisdom of God. The implication for us is those that harden their hearts to God's wisdom leave themselves vulnerable to the distractions, the temptations, the stuff of this world that's bound to get us off track. While those who turn their ear to wisdom will receive the blessings that come from following the Lord by faith. So there's a couple things there that are really clear at the beginning. The writer of Proverbs is trying to help us understand that at the very beginning, you need wisdom. You're simple, we will stumble. This brings us to the question then, how do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? That's the question that I want you to leave here thinking about. How do you get wisdom? You know, if you leave here today, and the main thing you got out of this is that what the Hebrew word for wisdom is, or how the book of Proverbs is structured, then we've fallen short. Again, wisdom is knowledge applied. If you don't practice wisdom, you don't have wisdom. So how do you get wisdom? Now, the pursuit of wisdom is a lifelong thing. It's a lifelong struggle. We're gonna look at three things here that I think the writer of Proverbs mentions early on in this book. Three ways that are so important, three foundational pieces of wisdom. But know that this is not something you can leave here going, well, I got those three things down, I'm ready to go, now I have wisdom. This is a lifelong battle. And throughout the pages of the Scripture, we see encouragements and warnings from Scripture that oftentimes wisdom is gained through trials, through struggles. Wisdom is something that we gain through oftentimes years of obedience to God, oftentimes when we're not even sure about the particular situation we're in. Things don't always make sense. So let's take a look at this. How do we get wisdom? The first piece of gaining, the first way we need to get wisdom is it starts with the fear of God. The fear of God. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The author of Proverbs makes that clear in that introductory passage that we started with this morning. We read it together. And then he restates it at the end of this section. So chapter 1 at the very beginning, verse 7, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right? And then he repeats that again at the end of chapter 9. In chapter 9, verse 10, the writer says it again. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. When things are repeated, that's important, especially in the ancient Hebrew. That was very important to repeat those things. That you see it at the beginning, you hear it again at the end. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What's it mean? I mean, it's not something we think about much in life, maybe unless we come to church and hear a verse like this read. This is a very important concept. Very important concept if we want the wisdom of God to take hold in our life. The author of Proverbs mentions fear of the Lord about 20 times in the 31 chapters of this book, the collection of these Proverbs. It's at the foundation of what wisdom is, the fear of the Lord. All right, so if you hear that this morning, you're like, what does it mean, fear the Lord? This just seems a little bit strange to our modern ears. I want to challenge you. Make sure you wrestle with this. Don't dismiss this too quickly as something in the Bible that's just kind of ancient and disconnected from my life. If you don't wrestle with this idea of the fear of the Lord and what it means in relation to how we think and how we live and make decisions, then you won't get wisdom. It's that important. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right, the writer wasn't just saying that. All right, he wants us to understand that. Now, we talk about fear of the Lord. May not be the most popular thing to say to postmodern people living in the 21st century, because we often think of fear as a bad thing, right? Fear is a bad thing. We don't want to be scared of anything, right? Well, fear can be a bad thing, all right? Sometimes I have my kids get up in the middle of the night, and they're scared of the dark or something like that, and it's a bad thing because I really want to sleep. But fear is a good thing. When we fear dangerous things or dangerous people or situations that are dangerous, this is a self-preservation response. All right? When we're not scared of things that we should be, we're acting foolish and we're going to suffer from it. I remember going on the roof of our house with my dad as we were roofing and taking care of some problems up there. And he was very clear about that. Be fearful. In so many words, be fearful. Remember where you are. Don't be screwing around up here. Because if you forget where you are and you're not fearful of things like gravity from a top of a house, you're going to get hurt. Fear is a positive thing if it's healthy and if it's right. The writer of Proverbs drives home this point that a wise person fears God. Not because God is dangerous or unpredictable. That's definitely not the case. Fear of God comes from who he is. From who he is. The Lord is mighty and powerful. He's mighty and powerful. The Lord is holy and his glory is all-consuming. One of the pictures that comes to my mind is, if you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet. There in Isaiah chapter 6, he describes this vision he had when he was before the throne of God and how fearful that was, to the point it almost killed him. Just to see God in all his holiness and all his glory. Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm an unclean man. God's glory is scary, it's a fearful thing. His holiness will bring fear if we truly appreciate the implications. Apart from God's grace and his mercy, standing in the presence of a holy God is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place for people like you and me that have our own issues of sin, our brokenness inside. God's holiness is a scary place apart from God's mercy and grace. Because God's holiness is serious. As he will have no part with evil. He'll have no part with evil. It also means that he's good and without corruption. As scary as God's holiness is, there's safety in it. So we know that God is good. All right, he's not going to have a bad day and decide to be unfair and mean and evil to us. God is good. He's not like the gods of the ancient Near East, the folks that lived around the Israelites, God's people worshipped. There were gods that were capricious and fickle. God is good without corruption. As scary as his holiness is, there's comfort in that. We don't need to fear some dark side of God. He's all good and all wise. We need to fear him for who he is. Fearing the Lord is about respect that we should have for the Almighty God, to fear him. It's about the realization of who God is and the fact in all his holiness, all his purity, he knows who I am. In those dark places of my heart, he knows me. He knows me, and he still loves me. Fearing God comes from that humility of knowing who I am before God. Knowing who I am before him and knowing my place in his kingdom. He is the king of his kingdom. I'm not. The fear of the Lord is about knowing my place. I need to submit to his rule in my life. The fear of the Lord is a healthy respect for God and for how he defines good and evil. This is important too. When we fear the Lord, we are able to respect not just who he is, but how he views good and evil. And that's important because wisdom is about aligning our lives with him and his plans, his will. The fear of the Lord keeps us from sin. The fear of the Lord keeps us from sin. Now, partly because we fear the discipline of the Lord, as we should. You know, there's times where we may be faced with a choice about something to say we know we shouldn't or do something we know we shouldn't. And we think about, I know that God would not be happy, or maybe God, I'm going to be disciplined for that. I'm not going to do that. Or it could just be the natural consequences. If I do this and I get caught, oh, that's going to be horrible. That's part of the fear of the Lord. We fear his discipline if we break his laws. But it's also about fearing God in that we want to honor the boundaries that he sets. We want to honor those boundaries because we know that they are good. He is wise. And those boundary lines that he established will benefit us if we respect them. So fear, Lord, is that healthy respect for God and for the boundaries that he establishes. When I fear the Lord, I know who I am. When I fear the Lord, I know my limits. and my weaknesses. This kind of fear is healthy. It brings humility, where I'm willing to trust in God's boundaries, believing that they're better than mine. However, when I don't fear God, when I don't have that proper honor and respect for him, then I push him aside and I try to move myself back in the driver's seat. Try to do things my way. Think about that. When you make a conscious choice to say or do something you want to do, even especially when you know you shouldn't do it, you're not fearing God. You say, no, I got this. I know better. In that moment, you and I, we don't care about what God thinks. We don't care about God's boundary. We don't fear God. We are pushing him aside to be the God of our own life. And folks, that is the essence of foolishness. If wisdom starts with a fear of God, then foolishness is about this idea of pushing God aside and saying, I'm going to be God. I know better. Fear of the Lord is that respect we should have for the Almighty God. Wisdom begins with the fear of the God, fear of God, fear of the Lord. You've come to that place in your life where you've learned who he is and you understand who you are. You have acknowledged your need for God's grace and have submitted your life to him. Well, the author, as I said, this is a very important piece of understanding wisdom. The author spends a lot of time with this concept of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's reminding us that you can't have wisdom without that right relationship to the Lord. If you don't know God, then you don't know what he's revealed about himself. And all this talk about fearing God is not going to make a lot of sense, probably, I'm betting. If you've not come to know the Lord by faith, then hearing this talk about fearing the Lord might make sense, but maybe only in a general realization that you might be held accountable for your sin. Right, that's not really what the fear of God is. If my fear of God is limited to the fact that I better not do that because I might get in trouble, I'm not quite getting it yet. Fear of the Lord is about trusting in him. It's that healthy humility that pushes us toward his mercy and grace. We know who he is. We know who we are. And this is where wisdom begins. We find wisdom as we come to know the Lord. So the second piece of this starts. How do we gain wisdom? How do we have wisdom? It starts with the fear of the Lord. We have to know the Lord. Knowledge is of the Holy One is understanding. The second half of that verse in chapter 9 of Proverbs 9:10. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom starts with that right relationship to God. If you don't know God, then you won't have wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom starts with following the Lord. The pursuit of wisdom starts with following the Lord. The wise person understands who he is before the Lord and humbles himself. He acknowledges the folly of his sin and turns to the Lord. In that sense, I want to say this morning that the road to wisdom begins at the cross. If you want wisdom, it starts at the cross. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. There in John chapter 14. The road to wisdom begins at the cross. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord? Well, knowledge is not equal to wisdom. All right, you can't have wisdom without knowledge. Sometimes we think of knowledge and wisdom as being the same thing. As if I just learn enough about God's word, if I just become a real Bible expert and read these books and memorize these verses, then I'll be wise. That doesn't always translate. Knowledge is not equal to wisdom. All right. However, I think this verse is reminding us in Proverbs 9:10 here that you can't have wisdom without knowledge. All right, this is a journey. God brings you through this journey as you study God's word. As you come here on Sunday, and we gather together and we learn together here on Sundays or in our tribe groups that meet throughout the week. We need to learn who God is and learn his plans for us. A person can have unbounded knowledge but lack wisdom. However, the opposite isn't true. You must have knowledge. You will not have that wisdom if you don't know who God is. You don't know His plans are for you. So if you're, as I asked those questions at the beginning, if you're struggling right now in your life to figure out if faith works out in real life, if it works out not just here on Sundays, but Mondays as you go to your job, you know, if you really can see God work through the things you're learning here on Sunday into your life on Monday, then there's a resource for you. That resource is the Bible. We've got to make sure we stay in God's Word. The Apostle Paul makes this point in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, he writes, "Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Renewing of your mind. "Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." All right? Sounds a lot like Proverbs as Paul's writing there. And I think that speaks of Paul's background. The Apostle Paul was a Hebrew scholar, right? He knew the Bible. So this was part of his ministry DNA. He's writing to the Roman Christians. They're telling them, don't let this world shape you and conform you, but instead be transformed from the inside out. How? By the renewing of your mind. Get into God's word. The Lord shape you. He writes a similar words of wisdom to Timothy. In his second letter to Timothy, in chapter 2, he writes, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved or qualified, a skilled worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Again, Paul's writings reflect wisdom literature here, the things that we read in Proverbs. He's challenging Timothy to be disciplined, to know the scriptures so that he has the wisdom of God to live out his calling as a follower of Jesus. We're foolish if we forget that, if we forget how important it is for us to have knowledge of God, to dig into God's word, to learn in our pursuit of wisdom. So if you're here today and you're just don't have a good grasp in God's word, you're still, maybe you're new in the faith, or the stuff that you read in the Bible, just, sometimes it's hard and I don't understand it, or it's difficult to apply to life, I want to encourage you, don't let that stop you from learning. Be students of God's word. Don't think that, hey, I know God, I'm a child of God, I put my faith in Christ, that's all I need. No, that's not how wisdom works. Wisdom is this idea of skillfully applying the things that God teaches you in His word into the context of daily life. Putting your faith in Christ is the starting point of wisdom. As we learn more about the Lord and His plan for us, it becomes clear that wisdom is that foundation our foundation of wisdom is firmer in our lives. The road to wisdom is not mysterious and mystical. All right, sometimes we think I want to be wise. I'm not sure how to unlock this mysterious book here. No, it's not something mysterious and mystical in the sense that we will grow in wisdom as we dig into God's word and say, Lord, what do I need to learn about you? What do I need to learn about what you're doing in my life, what you've done for me through the work of your son? But how do I apply that in a context? How do I live that out in this local church where I'm a part? If you want to be wise, you must pursue God in the pages of the scriptures. Pursue God in the pages of the scriptures. So we need to fear God. We need to know God. And the third point I want to talk about here is you think about how do I become wise? We need to submit to the Lord. We need to submit to Him. This is important. As we've said, wisdom is practical. Wisdom is practical. It's not the same as knowledge. You've got to have knowledge of God and God's word in order to be wise. It takes time as the Lord works that into your heart, oftentimes through challenges, through difficult times. But it's not knowledge alone. Wisdom is practical. If we don't live out what we know in God's words, in God's word, if it's just information that's just taking up space in our brain, then we're missing it. Knowledge about God's word that we don't apply to life, just Bible trivia. And I think there's a lot of us in church that know a lot about the Bible. And we can, if we're playing a game of Bible trivia, we probably could answer a lot of the questions. I mean, I've fallen into that myself where I spend time in God's word. And if I'm honest, it's just because I want to learn something. Maybe it's because I have an assignment, I have to preach, I have to teach. Maybe it's because I want to sound smart. Maybe you've been there before. Come to God's word, not just for the knowledge that you want to gain, but for how you can apply that knowledge. how God can transform your life through that. So wisdom is practical. So as we think about this idea of submitting to the Lord, we also have to remember that wisdom is confrontational. Wisdom is confrontational. Light of God's word will light our path. But when as God's word shines down on us, we're going to have to make decisions about which direction to take on that path. The light of God's word is powerful, but the light of God's word oftentimes shines into dark places in my heart that I really didn't want to see, that I didn't want to deal with. We practice wisdom when we submit to what the Bible teaches us about God and his plans for us. We see this in another book in the Bible that's really wisdom literature, and that's the book of James, the Epistle of James. He was the bishop of the church of Jerusalem there in the first century, that first generation of Christians after Christ imparted the Spirit of God to them and left them to serve faithfully there. He was writing to those folks in the house churches there in Jerusalem, and he says to them, in right there in verse 1, at the beginning of the Epistle of James, he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind." I just want to have us think about that for a little bit. So here's James writing to the bishop there, of kind of the pastor of pastors in these house churches, and he's writing to these Christians to say, hey, if you're struggling and you want to really live out your faith and make sure that you're consistent on Monday with your life, with what goes on Sunday, then there's hope for you. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Ask God to give you wisdom, but there's a little hitch there. But if you ask, you better be ready for the implications of that wisdom. You better receive that in faith. Will you submit to that? Because the person who doubts, the person who asks, hey, Lord, give me faith, give me wisdom, Lord. But then when the Lord shines that light of truth in our heart, the person that doubts is like the person that bounces back and forth, kind of like the waves in the sea. Wisdom is confrontational. The wise person humbly seeks wisdom from the Lord, knowing that God will give it to those who fear him. But if we want wisdom, then we better be ready to trust in him and to address those things that the word of God exposes in our hearts. We may not always like what we read, and some things don't always make sense, at least not initially. God's word is challenging at times, challenging to understand, but certainly challenging to apply. However, that is part of the journey of faith. If you ask God for wisdom, you need to be ready to accept the things that he reveals to you in his word. Those pieces of God's word that confront areas of our life that we don't want to deal with. We submit to the Lord. Well, we went quickly through this whole idea of wisdom in Proverbs. It's an important piece of this book, and it certainly is a theme, as I said, throughout the scriptures, but we need to wrap up, and I'm going to have the band come forward here in a few minutes, and we're going to worship the Lord again through song, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. And one of the things I want to say as we celebrate our Lord and his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed, I want us to think about wisdom in the terms of who we are as the body of Christ. We talked about the importance of digging into God's word and being ready to apply the knowledge that God reveals to us. But I want you to know, this isn't something that you have to do by yourself. Oftentimes we think of our journey too individualistically. We are here together. So as you come forward today, know that we are here as the people of God to pursue wisdom as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage one another in this process. Let's just pray here and then we'll close. Father, we thank you so much that we can have wisdom. Lord, that we don't have to be fools. We don't have to struggle in our sin and our folly, but Lord, together as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters, we are there for one another to learn your wisdom and to walk wisely, encouraging one another. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us out, and by your blood that was shed, your body that was broken, we have this unity of faith. In your name, Jesus, we pray, we celebrate this morning. Amen.